What's up, ladies and gentlemen, out there in internet land, and welcome to episode 392 of The Straight Shooters, available wherever podcasts are found. My name is Vaughn Johnson, and I'm joined as always by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Bacona, Fox PHL, the gambler, and Philly influencer. And we have special guests in the building. First up, we got from Fox PHL, the gambler, Mark Henry Jr., no relation to the world's strongest man, obviously. And also from Cheesesteaks and Controllers and various video game publications around the country, maybe the world, maybe one day. We got big man Jason Finelli. How are you gentlemen doing on this Tuesday evening? Nick, tired. I'll start with you. Yeah, that's a good word for it. But Nick, what's up with you?
Say Nick? Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know if you said Nick or Mark, but yeah, you know, like I'm all right. I'm not normal yet. I'll tell you, being out 2 days in a row after like 5 years of not going down and doing anything except like maybe like one Flyers game once in a while. Yeah, it took a lot out of me. I was kind of feeling it Sunday night.
Yeah.
But, I was able to rest up, use that Monday to kind of gather myself. And so we're here on Tuesday night recording this week and, excited to get at it.
Yeah, of course, we're talking about our little like post WrestleMania hangover because we all were a part of the festivities this past weekend at WrestleMania 40 in some capacity. It's Tuesday. I'm still kind of unpacking. I still haven't gotten all my photos together for my little recap post or emptied out the notebook, as the old time reporters say. I haven't had a chance to do that. You had to work yesterday, and then today I just kind of like unplugged from everything. You know, still did a little bit of work, but Mark, how about you? How are you feeling after this whole weekend?
Yeah, my voice was shot yesterday. I did my NFL draft podcast earlier, and my voice, I feel like I like talked myself into my voice being normal. Like I started off the pod like sounding horrible and ended up sounding somewhat like myself. So I'm getting back there by now. I was a kid for 2 days yelling my head off and screaming my head off. So it makes sense that my voice was gone. Yeah, I had an absolute blast, and I'll take a 10-day hangover for how much fun I had, and not just those 2 days, but the whole weekend.
Yeah, and how about we have one of the most impactful and probably one of the best WrestleManias of all time right in our backyard? How about that, man? What a great time it was. But let me spin it over to the Tribal Chef after this weekend. The Tribal Chef. Jason Finelli. Who was out there throwing down on the grill on Sunday before night two, whipping together cheesesteaks, had a whole gang of people around him lined up to get cheesesteaks. Jason, yeah, man. You got any cheesesteaks and rolls left over after all of that?
Hell no. Why do you think the people were all gathered around? they wanted some food. But yeah, there was like 15 people there. I think I knew 7 of them. We were just starting to yell to people because we had extra food. It was like 5 o'clock. We're getting ready to go in. And, anybody who wanted one could have one. Everything went, which was good. We got there. We only went to night two. Night one, we did not go to. We got to the parking lot about 1:30, I'd say. Did the burgers and the sausage and peppers first. Let the grill cool for a little bit, and then did the cheesesteaks at like 4 o'clock. Very successful. First time I've ever done something like that. Wasn't sure it was going to completely work. Had a couple of things, a couple of hurdles I had to jump over. Like to get it down there, I had to take the lid off the Blackstone and put it separate. But once we got down there, man, it was awesome. And then going inside and seeing the stage and feeling like it was nice, as Nick said, and as Mark said too, it was nice to feel like the center of the WWE universe. For a couple of hours. Yeah. It was awesome. Like our seats were just off the stage too, so we could see like some backstage stuff happen, and we saw the chorus and the violins line up for Roman's entrance. We saw the mummers lining up to get ready to go out there. So we're like, oh, someone's getting mummers. That was cool. Saw the bagpipers too. So it was just weird to see behind the curtain there. We were a little worried because the pyro was just to our left. And oh, Lord. I remember 24, what happened there. So I wasn't trying to go to the hospital. I was trying to go home. But luckily, that did not happen.
Did, did you guys have light issues with lights in your face? So I only had it for the AJ Styles LA Knight match on the second night. Didn't have it for any of the else. We chanted, turn the light off, and they did pretty quickly. But I had a cousin who brought his kids, you know, sat really close, and they said that they had a bright light right in their face for both nights, the entire night.
Yeah, my dad complained a couple times on night two. It wasn't horrible, but it was definitely a thing. Yeah. But glad to hear everybody had a great weekend. Glad to hear that we're still recovering from such a, I don't know, like a high almost, for lack of a better term, of what was this past weekend. And apparently it was very impactful as well, as WWE announced that they sold over 200,000 tickets this weekend. And of course, they made millions atop of millions at like WWE World and for all the other events they put on this week. Let's just talk about just the event overall, just WrestleMania, just real quick. And we can get into the other things that happened outside of it in a little bit. But Jason, I'll start with you. Just what are you going to be your overall takeaways from this WrestleMania, from a show standpoint and maybe from just an impact standpoint? Because there are people talking about this is one of the best WrestleManias of all time. And that ending, I'd say, is up there too as one of the most storybook and climactic endings that's we've ever witnessed. So I'll go to you first, Jason. What are you trying to take away from all of this after Saturday and Sunday?
So I agree with everything that you said. It was one of the best wrestling shows I've ever been through, but one of the best WrestleManias, just objectively, that I've ever watched, and I've watched them all. I do think, though, that there is a level of this show's impact that will not be felt for a couple of years. And what I mean by that is this is the first show in the Triple H era, the first WrestleMania in the Triple H era. And as we continue to see that evolve and become whatever he wants it to be or whatever TKO wants it to be, people will always now go back and say 40 is where it started. And 40 is, whether that's their blueprint, whether they want to call it like the pinnacle of, I hope it's not the pinnacle, but like if this is the gold standard of a Triple H WrestleMania, I cannot wait to see what that boy has in store in future years. So I think as much fun as we had, I think the historical impact will continue to prove itself as the years go on.
Man, that's deep. And I kind of feel you on that, man. The scene was very reminiscent to WrestleMania 10, where they, Bret Hart's getting hoisted up on the babyface's shoulders, and Mr. McMahon is yelling over the microphone that it's the dawn of a new era, it's a new generation. Well, they spent 2 days saying this is a new era, and they named it a couple times, the Paul Levesque era. Mm-hmm. And it's a new, and here's Cody Rhodes playing the role of Bret Hart, leading WWE into this new era, this new generation. I think that was all intentional and kind of, intentional callbacks a little bit. Mark, what did you think about WrestleMania's impact? Again, we had over 200,000 people over the weekend, apparently, or tickets sold, I should say. Obviously, there were more people in the area, or at least probably around that many people coming in to Philly for the weekend. Obviously, there's probably people who went to both shows and whatnot. But we also had broken gate records for SmackDown, attendance records for NXT, attendance records for Raw. Apparently, there was 20,000 people. They announced 20,000 people yesterday at Monday Night Raw, the Raw after Mania. So, Mark, kind of go into what you think about, again, the show itself and how everything went down and just how Philly was kind of like on this stage for multiple days. And we got to witness here in Philly one of the most impactful wrestling weekends that's ever occurred.
Yeah, it's this is such a stupid reference, and I can't believe this is like the first thing I'm gonna reference on the show. But my little brother growing up used to watch it was a WWE cartoon. I think it was like Scooby-Doo, and it was like Scooby-Doo goes to WWE town. And that's what it felt like. Like, it felt like we were in WWE town. Like, we were the center of the WWE universe. All the wrestlers were living in, backstage. Like, that's what it felt like. Like, we were the center of the WWE universe. And it was awesome. But in terms of the historical significance, I'm obsessed with ranking things when it comes to WrestleMania. Vaughn, I don't know if you know, but I had Pacone on the Tough Cover Radio show on Saturday, and I was great in your top 40 there. Now you did a good job. I had some disagreements we were bringing up, and I had my top. I ranked my top 40 and went through the top 10 with Pacone. And we were talking about it. So I'm obsessed with ranking things like that.
You didn't have Savage Warrior there, unfortunately, though.
I had it 14, I think. I had it 14. So it's not like I had it that low, but Nick wasn't happy about it.
I think I had it 15. So it wasn't like I was far off or something like that. I think I had it in the middle.
No, we had a lot that we were pretty close on. But in terms of WrestleManias, I'd be hard-pressed to say. I told Nick on Saturday I have a hard time comparing these two-night Manias with the one night Manias because it feels a little unfair. But I mean, if you just took night two, it feels like it could compete with some of these top WrestleManias. But if you give it both, the only ones that I think are in on the level of it, I think 17 and 19 are probably still above it for me. I think 10 probably edges it out still, and it's right there with 30. It's probably deeper than WrestleMania 30 was. And
well, it's got more matches for sure.
Yeah. And you can decide whether or not, you know, the Daniel Bryan moment or the Cody moment meant more, but it was really like, I mean, it was like Avengers Endgame or the Avengers Infinity War into Avengers Endgame. Like, I'm not even the biggest comic book or Marvel guy or anything like that, but you know, him losing last year, which I was vocally against. And I think that they took a lot of risk. And if this was the plan all along, I think there was a lot of risk that they incurred to get here. And I think all the stars had to align perfectly, and they did. And all the stars aligned for, you know, it's like Doctor Strange said, you know, there's only one scenario, one outcome. And that was Endgame here. And it was Cody Rhodes finishing the story.
Yeah, I wrote in a column for USA Today that this is one of the most climactic endings in wrestling history. Like, it's up there. If it was an 80s action movie, there would have been a freeze frame at the end when Cody's on everybody's shoulders. Like, yay! Like, the end. Cody went on to be the best ever. Like, Roman Reigns dropped out of the business. Like, something terrible happened to him or something like that. That's what happened. That's what would happen in the 80s action movie or something like that.
I forget who tweeted it, but just imagine hearing, I forget if it was 2018, 2019, when Cody smashed the throne. Like, imagine hearing, you know, in 6 years, he's going to be like on the shoulders of the baby faces in the ring, celebrating the main event of WrestleMania with Triple H and Phil Brooks standing next to each other, like, putting him over. It's unbelievable.
And like, also in the middle of a boom period for WWE too. It's not like, you know, it's not just like the moment that's significant. It's also everything surrounding it that's significant, because they are hitting on all cylinders financially. I mean, we saw it firsthand here in Philly, how much people were out buying title belts. I mean, them title belts are $600-$700. People had three or four of them. The line for the merch line at WWE World was snaking for like four turns. Like, you had to wait in line to spend your money.
It was longer than the line to get into the WWE World.
Exactly. It was real fast to get in WWE World, but to pay, you know, the money, that line, man, people were spending all their money. So
did you hear the news today? Cody Rhodes, $1 million in merch by himself.
Good Lord. That royalty check going to look nice.
It's going to look real nice.
Okay.
I contributed to that. I'll put it up.
I see that. It looks nice.
By himself, bro. Yeah. And that's just him. Yep. Now, other people also ate this weekend. Independent wrestlers ate this weekend. Like, everybody ate this weekend, all right? There's people who's wrestling on 3, 4, 5 shows this weekend. People was eating because wrestling is hot right now. At least WWE is hot. And obviously, because they got a bunch of fans here, the other independent promotions can take advantage of that. So everybody eats. Everybody eats, B. Nick, talk about the significance of this moment as a Philly wrestling fan. We've been waiting for this for a long time. And then we get arguably the best WrestleMania in recent memory.
You know, Mark made me think about it. You know, what was it? 8 years ago. When Cody was released, right? 2016, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Me and Vaughn in the car on the way to the Wildfire Radio Studios to record an episode of The Straight Shooters. I believe that's when we found out that he was released, right?
I think so.
In the car.
Sounds about right.
I think maybe you went on Twitter just to check because I got the alert, and then you went on Twitter as we're approaching the studio, and that's when he, I believe, tweeted out the list, you know, of talent that he wanted to wrestle. And it's so funny thinking back to that moment and being like, okay, well, he's never coming back. You know, like that's it, it's still Vince McMahon's WWE. You know, imagine Cody doing what he did, coming back and having that WrestleMania moment in the main event in Philadelphia. It's like, that's not going to happen, right? Like
at WrestleMania 40, man, where The Rock is going to be there.
You know, I probably
John Cena's there.
Yeah, I probably said something stupid in the car, like, you know, well, he's not going to make it as Cody Rhodes. Like, Stardust is probably his best option. But as Goldust was the best option for Dustin Rhodes, right? Like, that's probably something I said or thought. And he did it. And I remember there were people kind of laughing at him when he signed with Impact. And he couldn't use the Cody Rhodes name. It was just Cody, right, for a while. That. So I was like, okay, well, this is, it's really frustrating that this is where we're at because of Vince McMahon's organization and his decisions, but it came full circle. And the fact that we got that moment and the fact that Cody has maintained that popularity, not only since he came back to WWE, but he's at the top of the list when it comes to like three straight incredible WrestleMania matches. Like it's probably a very short list. And even if he lost, I don't want to say that because I don't want to think about that because he'd be over if that were the case. But Bernie Mark and I on this podcast last year said, there's no way we're going to be where we are right now, pretty much. Like, we just did not believe WWE would do right by Cody after that. And not only did they, but he's arguably the fate. You got Roman and you got others, but Cody Rhodes is the face of WWE right now at its highest point. And how long, you know? So that in and of itself, and you know, Philly, and I know there's people from all over the world, but it happening in Philly, I remember walking into that stadium and the set reveal kind of underwhelmed me, and I was like, well, you really can't compare it to the WrestleMania 39 set because the link is not as big as some of these other stadiums that the WrestleMania was. And but being there in person,
is that
like,
true though? Like, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if the size of the stadium affected it. But
The ground. I mean, they're not going to build a set like they did for 39 at the Link. Like, it's not going to be that big. They're not going to have that much room.
It was a fine set.
I go in person on Saturday. I'm like, holy crap, this is incredible. Like, it didn't matter. Like, seeing it on, you know, a screen is a lot different than seeing it in person. And you're just like, wow, this is really good. The only thing I kind of miss was like, oh, why didn't they put anything on the top of the canopy over the ring like they did with the Statue of Liberty at MetLife, or you know, when they used to do that? But I guess it's not needed at this point.
They're gonna hang a real bell up there.
Like, yeah, why not?
Triple H cued CM Punk and said, you know, I'm not here to make sets. I'm here to make money. Yeah. That was his kind of philosophy the whole weekend.
That's great.
Raw and SmackDown.
Right. We don't need a big set. We're here to sell these tickets. These people want to come in. Let them in. That's probably TK.
That's part of the reason with the set with Raw and SmackDown, right? Because I think I read today that they're going to actually let ticket sales dictate how they set up the arenas now.
As they should.
Go ahead, Jason. They should. You know what you can put on top of that canopy? An ad for Chickies and Pete's. That's what should go up there. You're advertising Dude Wipes and Minute Maid and all this other stuff. Put a local Philly brand on that canopy while we're here. They did stuff in Chickies and Pete's, didn't they? Braun Strowman was in there in the pre-show cracking Wheatley American vodka, I've never had an ad turn me off more. But that's
the official vodka of WWE now.
Vodka sponsorship. That's pretty wild.
I will not enjoy it neatly. I will not enjoy it sweetly. I will not enjoy it with a fox. I will not enjoy it in a box. I just don't want it.
Man, we got bars now.
That Prime logo in the ring was not as annoying as I expected it to be.
Agreed.
Because it was transparent.
We've all seen a UFC match before.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Jansen, like the white, by the way, Jansen background. Is not on this pod, was so upset for two straight nights for 8 hours. And my fiance at one point in the sixth hour turned to me and like, it's an ad. Like,
who cares?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
You've watched boxing. You've watched UFC. They got 30 ads on the mat. They had one.
Like, you know.
Doesn't AEW yes. DraftKings yeah. on the skirt?
Yeah, at least in like the corners or something like that.
Yeah.
So come on, it's all right. It's fine. Yeah. They're going to make money. It's okay. Capitalism.
It,
baby.
It looked good in the ring because it wasn't what Logan unveiled on Raw. It wasn't like the white. It wasn't the colorful one. It was just
right.
like a transparent thing. And I'm like, I could deal with that because I could deal with that. It's fine.
Look, I didn't care not one bit about that prime bottle in that ring. Okay, I just knew that the prime bottle, the person who's wearing the prime bottle suit, was you had to watch out for that person because they're definitely going to get involved in the match, which they did, and we move on from that. But as far as the significance of this show, for me, I mean, wow, what a weekend, what a time to be alive here in Philly.
You were one of the busiest people in Philadelphia, Vaughn and Mark, obviously, Jason doing your thing, and
yeah,
I was only really involved Saturday, Sunday, but you guys. Killed it all week.
Everybody, man. Thursday was WWE World, shooting content there, meeting other content creators, other writers, people that I've only interacted with on social media, which, you know, multiple people. So I don't want to, you know, start naming people and then forget people. But you see some of the social media posts and stuff like that that, you know, I might have was involved in. One particular, I'll say this one, this was Cam Hawkins doing the 360 video. Right off top, I didn't.
That was awesome.
That was just, we were just out, and he's like, "Let's do it," and then we did it. So that was fun. Met some other dope
one take.
People. One take. That's all we needed. Swag it out real quick. That wasn't, you know, this is how we do it. You know, we did not get two tries with that. That was one take. One take, Jake. But met other people as well. Shook hands with a lot of people. Met people at Wally Mania at night as well. Me and Tommy Rones hanging out. With Phil Strum for USA Today. He was cool. Met him for the first time, and then Friday we went to with Media Day and saw AJ Styles and LA Knight get into a fight. Cool. Everybody was grabbing their phones, met some more cool people, and then what did we do Saturday? I actually had to take a break from WrestleMania on Saturday. I had to go play some flag football in the morning because I was tired, y'all. All right, it was a lot, but I got a pick six, so it was worth it. I made yeah, the most nice. Out of it. All right.
There it is.
And then Saturday was dope, but obviously
Ron
Saturday.
Gardner Johnson.
That's pretty funny. But Saturday obviously was marred by the fact that it was cold as hell out there. The Hawk was out. The Hawk was everywhere, all right? And the crowd was literally cold. And that's why they weren't cheering, because it was frigid temperatures out there. I was fortunate to have a jacket and a hoodie. I was out again early in that morning playing football, and it's like, oh, it's bad now. It's going to be worse later at like 11 o'clock. So let's dress warm. And it paid off for the most part, but it was still damn cold. But it was beautiful the next day. I mean, we couldn't have asked for better weather on Sunday. I took my wife the first night, and my poor wife sitting in that damn cold. But my dad got lucky with the next day with the weather. But also, my man Jason Pinelli over here, the tribal chief, serving up cheesesteaks. And my dad had a cheesesteak at the tailgate, even though, look, Full disclosure. All right, let's clear the air real quick. All right, let's pull back the curtain. All right,
he makes a strong first impression. I'll just say that.
So everybody knows that I worked for the Eagles once upon a time, and I don't work for them anymore. But obviously, you know, people know that I work there, and I still got friends there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we cool, right? My dad shows up. My dad, unfortunately, is a Cowboys fan.
Oh.
His whole life.
I do not think I knew that.
His whole life. I don't want to tell everybody.
That's true.
I am ashamed. He shows up. I'm like, all right, Dad, where you at? I meet him. Cowboys hoodie, Cowboys hat.
Cowboys.
At WrestleMania in Philadelphia. I'm like, bro, I got a reputation. I'm trying to get home tonight, man. And you out here playing. Nobody asked for this.
He knew what he was doing.
I was telling people to boo him, bro. He deserved it. He deserved it. So, but Jason and the crew still show love despite the fact that he was wearing Cowboys gear. And yeah, it was a beautiful weekend, man. It was great to have, like you said, the epicenter of wrestling be here in Philly, and for us to all be there in some capacity throughout the weekend to witness one of the best weekends in wrestling history as far as just being a wrestling fan. There's a lot of people who wish they were here feet on the ground this week. Because this was one of the biggest WrestleManias in recent memory. we're all fortunate enough that this happened here in Philadelphia. But I talked about some of my favorite moments from the week. Nick, I'll start with you. What were some of your favorite moments from the weekend? Saturday and Sunday, going to WrestleMania, seeing the set, seeing the stadium, being in the parking lot. Talk me through it, baby. Come on.
I mean, so as if like you listen to the podcast or know me personally, I've been going through some personal things the last few years, and it's been really tough to get out there in the wild. You know, like it's been rough the last few years, social wise, for me to get out there and stay out there. And I'm really glad I was able to do that this weekend. Saturday, my first stop was Xfinity Live. The Gambler had Green Legion Radio doing a show. Ric Flair there, Mark Henry Jr. there, John Jansen there, a bunch of people from The Gambler that I haven't been able to meet in person yet because of circumstances for me personally. And I was able to meet them in person, and that was awesome. Like, finally being able to do that. And it was funny because this was right as NXT was going down, right? Stand and Deliver. So we got there in the middle of that. And we're just kind of like, you know, not very many places to sit. I wasn't sure what was going on. I didn't, you know, I took a picture. And I think I didn't realize the guys were already there at Xfinity Live from The Gamblers. So I was just kind of standing around. I took a picture of the TV that was airing the NXT show, and I posted it, or I sent it to our group chat at The Gambler. And I think Jansen was like, "Wait, are you here?" Like, I didn't realize you guys were already there. So they came out and we were talking a little bit, and they went back to prepare for the Green Legion Radio. NXT had ended and Xfinity started getting flooded, and there was like no place to really sit or even stand. It felt like it was like, man, people are like right over here on me. Like, man, I want to move, like get off me. And that's kind of how I am regardless. I don't like being in a tight crowd like that. So I was able to, you know, join the Green Legion Radio guys and the Gambler guys in their private event to at least get some space. You know, there wasn't anywhere to sit because, you know, they did a great job with tickets, and people came out to see Ric Flair, and that was a great time. He was on the radio. Mark, I'm sure he will talk about being able to interview him on the Gambler. It was just really cool where I could have space, you know, and not be crowded and everything like that. So, you know, that was a fun moment for me, finally being able to be out there and meet some of the people I've been working with for years that I haven't been able to meet yet. So that was a highlight of WrestleMania Saturday for me, because right after that, we had gone over. Thanks to Mark, I was able to go into the crowd. I had credentials for both nights. I wasn't sure how it was going to work, and not very many people did because things change, you know. Something happens to previous event doesn't mean it's going to happen at that event. So, you know, I could only go by what other people told me what to expect. Turns out in the press box on Saturday, they apparently had the windows shut. So that made it hard to hear. Like, Vaughn, you've been up there. I've been up at the Phillies one. Mm-hmm. Remember when we went to interview Daniel Bryan?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. I've been up there, but I hadn't been to the Link one yet for an event, so I wasn't sure how it works. And well,
those windows, they do open now. That's a new, I think that's a relatively new thing for the Link. But yeah, when I was working at it, the windows are always closed, and it would muffle the sound a little bit. So,
and I wanted to be out there in the crowd, experience that, not realizing how cold it would get, obviously, with the wind and everything. But
it was cold.
We persevered. You know, we dressed appropriately. I was cold regardless, but still, we got through it. A couple guys sitting next to me were from Ohio and South Carolina, and just be like, because the first thing I said to them was like, "You guys from around here?" And you know, we got to chatting. And one of the first things I asked them was, "Do you buy into the narrative that we're terrible people?" And they just kind of laughed. They're like, "No." One of them comes here for work, even though they haven't been out to the city. They've been through the city, so they're like, "Nah, like they were here for a few days, so." You know, they were having a good time, and I'm like, well, that's what we're about, man. I'm not here to try and make you love Philly or Philly fans, but you know, I was just wondering what other people like. I never really, it's been a while since I talked to somebody outside of Philly to kind of get their perspective on, and I kind of wanted to see what they thought they could expect night one and night two, because they were going to be there night two as well in different seats. So, you know, I will say the Rocks theme is awesome. That was the first time it's really hard for me to hear like on TV because like I'm doing so many things at once when I'm home. So as much as I try to pay attention, I don't always listen to themes all the way through anymore. But after The Rock won and they played his theme, you know, the whole night, basically after that, I was like bopping to it. I was like, yeah, this is a banger. I enjoy this. This is a cool theme as we were exiting. And so that was a fun time. And then Sunday I had gotten my credential. Thankfully, I lucked out. I went to the media line around 5 p.m. when it was open, and I was standing there for like 45 minutes, not realizing how long it would be. And I was in line with Matt Breen from the Enquirer. So that was really cool. Got to catch up with him a little bit. And Tommy Rowan came later. So, man, sitting in the press box together, it was this really cool moment for me because, you know, I've known Tommy for a few years. Like, you know, I've talked to him. And just being there and experiencing it, he was like happy too for me. And that was just like a really cool moment to be there. And hey, free food, which was nice.
Yeah, what they had? What was the press box spread?
What I got was it was like pulled pork, and but I didn't get anything. They had like mac and cheese and like potato salad, stuff like that. But, right. A few things, but I just got a lot of pulled pork. I got like two servings of pulled pork, the small buns, and then they had blueberry cheesecake, which is amazing.
I don't like cheesecake like that, but
I got
I can pass on the cheesecake.
No
cheesecake for me.
Go ahead. Sunday, Saturday was great. Sunday was great. I have no complaints at all.
Yeah, same here, man. And I got some funny stories about press box etiquette that we'll discuss in a little bit. But Mark, wanted to go to you. What are some of your favorite moments from this past couple days here in Philly during WrestleMania?
Yeah, just a crazy weekend for me personally. I Thursday I met Mark Henry, the World's Strongest Man.
Oh my God! Was there a rip in the time space continuum when that happened?
Like, he asked me. So you're the real Mark Henry, huh? I'm the fake one. And I was like, no, absolutely not, Mr. Henry. You know, let me tell you right now. You know, I'm not the – no, he was awesome. He was so nice. We took a picture together. Had to run out of there. Went over to the podcast I listened to, Cheap Heat, Peter Rosenberg's podcast, with someone I've become friends with. He's the co-host on there. I've become Twitter friends with a guy named Stat Guy Greg. So went over there to support them. Ended up sitting. We got front row seats for it because it was nice. General admission. Sat next to Smoke DZA and West Side Gunn. Which was pretty cool.
They were at Suplex Vintage Wrestling this week as well during WrestleMania. But go ahead.
They're huge fans. I mean, they're at every event, and they were really cool. Rhea, Dom both showed up at that event, and LA Knight showed up. They kind of like said what's up to everybody. We had a chance to say hi to them too. So really cool Thursday, which, you know, led into Friday. We were at WWE World with the Gambler. Interviewed Natalya, and then we interviewed Ilya Dragunov, who then went out and debuted on Raw. So I asked Ilya what his dream match was. He said Seth and Shinsuke, ended up debuting against Shinsuke. Either he was working me and he already knew he was getting
They were listening to your interview.
Yeah. Either he was working me and he knew he was working with him and wanted to throw him out there as one of his dream matches, or it just so happened that his debut came against one of the guys who would be his dream match. But thought that was really cool. And then Saturday, with the Gambler and Green Legion Radio, interviewed Ric Flair at Xfinity Live, which is, you know, just a surreal experience, obviously. I mean, one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time. But I had a chance to ask him about Charlotte Flair. So he goes, thank you so much for that. I don't have a Ric Flair in my arsenal, but he almost got emotional at me asking, because I said that, in my opinion, she's the greatest women's professional wrestler of all time. And he went on a diatribe about it. And it was pretty cool. We got the full Ric Flair experience, and I'll leave it at that. He was definitely the nature boy.
He's styling and profiling.
He was styling and profiling, limousine riding, jet flying.
Oh boy!
And I'll leave it at that
before. And that's all we got to say about that, man. I don't know nothing else.
I don't want to get to what he's stealing. But
hey, now hold on. All right.
No, I'm joking. But no, that was great. That it was really cool to. That was an awesome opportunity. And then went into the show. It was absolutely freezing. I was not prepared for how cold it was whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I thought that night one. I was saying all week that I thought night one was a much worse card and compared to night two. And everyone was telling me I was crazy. I remember Jason Solomon. One of the producers at The Gambler also, Jeremy, all these people telling me how much better night one was than night two.
I agreed. I thought night one was going to be better as well.
I thought night two was stacked. I thought it was way ahead of time. I was like, there's too many tag matches on night one. Things are going to blend into each other and bleed into each other. I think that they could have done a better job kind of separating it. But we did get the Sami Zayn moment in night one, which was just, I mean, that's professional wrestling. I mean, everything about that, from, you know, him saying, you know, his wife and kid in the backstage and then walking up to Kevin Owens on his way out. And that, I mean, that's the type of stuff that makes you, you know, that gives you goosebumps as a wrestling fan. And, you know, you have a guy like Gunther who has a belt for such a long time, and Sammy overcomes that as a babyface fighting as an underdog. And it's a special moment, and one of the best wrestling moments and matches I've ever seen live. I think it was the second best match of the weekend. Is that? Well,
I would go with that. Yeah, I thought that was the best match of Saturday for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it was better than anything besides Cody and Roman on Sunday.
I would agree.
Yeah, I thought that was unbelievable. Then obviously Sunday came around, and we all know what happened on Sunday. I mean, that was just an awesome moment, and the video on Twitter, the wrestling, I think it's called the wrestling group or TWC, the club of kids, that I've heard Stack Guy Greg on that podcast I mentioned earlier, he's talked about them a lot before, and the video that they put up, of them reacting to the end of the last 7 minutes of Cody Roman is that, I mean, incredible. It's just like that made me cry legitimately. Yeah. Like I'm not, you know, I thought I was going to tear up when Cody won on Sunday night. Shocking.
Man, it was emotional.
I didn't get emotional in the link. Maybe I was too worried about, you know, getting out of the link, 'cause it took me 2 hours the night before, but so I wasn't emotional yet, but I watched that video today actually. And I was like, man, like this is just, it's beautiful.
Tremendous. That's what it's all about, man. Shout out to Stat Guy Greg, man. I was supposed to like at least like shake his hand this week, and I never ran into him. So shout out to him. He's a good guy over at Cheap Heat. And I was like, again, I was at Wild and Main and didn't bump into him. And I think I saw him at Media Day, and I was like, I gotta keep my spot in line because it's a long line. But you know, we'll link up. Jason, I gotta get to you, the Tribal Chef. I know one of the highlights for me was Sunday before the show, but what are some of your top moments from the weekend?
If that is my legacy when it comes to attending WrestleMania, it is a good legacy to have. But like, this was a fantastic weekend for me from all angles. So like in video game writing, which I normally do, a lot of times if I have to go to an event, I have to go to it. Right. So been to LA a bunch of times, San Francisco, went to Japan once, that whole thing came to me, and like people that I have worked with, people that I've known like through other podcasts and stuff like that, they were here. So
wasn't
like,
wasn't that great? Wasn't that awesome?
Awesome. So like I go to the media for WWE World. I was invited by 2K because they were supposed to do their Superstar Showdown at 4:30, ended up doing it at 5:45 because of Dwayne Johnson. But like, what do you say to him? You're like, you know, he's The Rock. He's going to do whatever he wants. But like in that time, I got to reconnect with like Dan Reichert and Janet Cho of Giant Bomb. Great website there. Chris Hayner, who's the entertainment editor at GameSpot, who I've worked for GameSpot for 3 years, never met the guy, met him for the first time outside of WWE World. That was really cool. When my PR guy told me to meet at a certain spot, he said, we're waiting for one more person and then we'll go up. That one more person was Denise Salcedo. So I got to meet her, which was awesome. She's great. In fact, just, you know, not to, you know, talk myself up here, but the picture of her in front of the ECW set holding the trash can that she shared all weekend, I took that son of a bitch.
Hey, who's the man behind the camera?
Me. but like, so that was really cool. Superstar. I got to see Austin Creed, who I met at E3 in 2015. He came to me, which is insane.
Let's go.
He remembered who I was. That was real cool. And that was a really fun night, right? And then Friday, I just watched SmackDown. Didn't do a whole lot with the wrestling on Friday. Saturday, I brought my family, my wife and kids, to WWE World. We did the 360 camera. We held the belts. Both of my daughters now want their own belt, which I'll get into they're not getting the $500 ones. Don't you know, I was like,
you ready to go into debt? You ready to go into debt?
Put a second load on my house or whatever it is. So another story. I'm gonna call myself out here. You called yourself out with your dad. I'm gonna call myself out here. My daughter's favorite wrestler is Bray Wyatt, and I have not told her. I can't. It's like, how do I do that? How do I do that to a 7-year-old girl? She's got the little doll of the Fiend that she got for Christmas that she called him Owie Wowie. She loved watching the Firefly Funhouse. She didn't watch every episode. Like, I didn't let her watch the one where he bashed the rabbit's head in. I thought that was a little too far. But she loved the muscle man dance, loved all of it, loved his entrance, watched his matches. I will never forget Royal Rumble 2020. She sat, it was like 2 hours past her bedtime, and she sat and did not move. Fiend versus Daniel Bryan strap match. Watched the entire thing entranced. It was awesome. And then this happens, right? And we get to we get to WWE World that is going on.
The panel.
But luckily it was on the other side of the room.
Oh no.
So we took our time watching the creator entrances or the make your own entrances. Yep. We took pictures in front of the set, which was really cool. My younger daughter got a picture in the door. That was badass. And we waited until that panel was over, basically. And then we went down that way. My Charlotte got to see Charlotte on stage, which was neat. My Olivia did not get to meet Liv Morgan, unfortunately. That's the one blind spot. Cause she was there Monday and they were in school, you know, that's the second grader. We tried, but I did show her the clip of Liv's throwing arm last night.
Sabu.
Very impressed with that.
Speaking of Sabu, who no-showed the Indy Hall of Fame.
What a legend. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
Took
gracious.
The check and walked. Didn't want to go up the elevator.
man.
So we did that during the day. And then all day, like from when we got home about 2 o'clock to when we were getting ready, like trying to leave, my buddy Jim and I, who you met, were trying to go to night one. Like, dude, we're looking for tickets. It's real still expensive. Don't want to spend this money. And about 5:30, 6 o'clock, we decided, you know what? Let's take this and do it for the Raw after Mania. And then we'll just sit, rest up, and then tomorrow we'll go all out, which we did. Ended up being the right call. Thank you, Heating.
Y'all made the right call for that.
Made the right call there, and got great seats for Raw, which I'll get to. And then Sunday was the day. My daughter's birthday party was 10:30. We were home by noon. I had to go switch the tail light in my van because, of course, it had to happen. When I'm getting ready to have a car full of dudes, load up the grill, load up the coolers. Got down there, like I said, about 1:30. Had a great time out there. Channel 6 came by and recorded us.
Nice.
My one dude had the Terramana. We all shared the Terramana, which is nice. both of them were good. I think I like the Resposado one more, though. Blanco was
that. A good one. I chose that one. I got good taste now, Jay.
You do. Not to say Blanco is bad. Not to say the final boss is listening and just getting real mad for no reason. But that was real good. And then we went in, man, and it was like I went back to the first wrestling show I ever went to, right? Like, it was that. All over again. All of a sudden I was 7 and, you know, I'm watching all this great action. The Undertaker shows up just like he did when I was 7. It was really hard to describe. Like, there were some moments where I just was like soaking it all in, like trying not to shed a tear, like Mark said. Cody's win did get me, I will say. Just seeing him, I think it was with Brandy when Brandy got in, I'm like, oh man, that's cool. You know, she's a former employee too. People forget that. To have her let her get that little moment up on the stage and then be in the ring for when that was happening. The only thing that would have made that better is if they let Dustin come down. But Tony probably said no to that.
Tony's
too busy planning to try to sap off the Cody Rhodes moment by having Dustin wrestle as world champion. But that's another. Let's not talk about the tape they're going to roll tomorrow.
I will say one thing about that tape. I hope it's a Young Bucks swerve and they do like reenact it as like sock puppets.
That'd be terrible.
Well, it'd be funny
this
too.
Is so 99 WCW.
I know.
We can litigate this another time. But Jason,
sorry.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast right there.
So yeah, Sunday was magical. The entire day. Getting out of the parking lot sucked, as you said. Took us.
We didn't
move for 50 minutes. Did not move. Oh my god! It was for 50 minutes, and then we finally got out.
And they changed the pattern from Saturday to Sunday the way I went, and so they shut down two ways to get to 95 South. And it's like, okay, we were all going one way. I had to wound up going like to Center City just to go home. It was ridiculous.
Oh,
and I mean, I did an illegal move and tried to U-turn because I was like, oh, why is no one coming this way? I'll just U-turn, and obviously the road was blocked, and the one cop's like, the hell are you coming this way for? How the hell did you get down here? I'm like, okay, well, like, I'll U-turn, and I was going to go around a cone, and he was like trying to stop my car with one hand. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to go around the cone, but he's like, no, right here, turn. And I'm like, oh my god, relax, dude. Relax, bro.
We finally got out and got home about 12:30, something like that, 12:30, unpacked everything. Monday night, Raw was great. We had it all planned out much better. I think it ended at 11. We stayed for CM Punk's Rah Rah Philadelphia post show speech, and I was getting off of the exit at 95 at like 11:15. We was completely different.
Out of there as soon as the show ended.
Basically, we were parked at like right next to the main gate on the end, so all we had to do was like a quick UB with like a 3-point turn, and we were already in the lane of 95 South.
Boom!
It was awesome.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's the way to do it. But
I got to do that because we're not far from each other, Jason. So I got to do whatever.
No, we're not. Yeah. That was all Jim. That wasn't me. But seeing the people that I saw having that tailgate experience, which I don't get very often. I'm not like a season ticket holder to any of the sports teams. I can't afford that stuff. It was awesome. It was really, really cool. I am now like a Blackstone apologist. That thing is amazing. If you ever have the opportunity. And it was just, it's why I love pro wrestling. It's why I've watched pro wrestling since I was 5 or 6. It was the same feelings I had for Hogan back as a kid. I was having for Cody right here, finishing his story. It was awesome. And I feel like we're in a new, I don't want to say golden age, but like a new, the Renaissance era that Cody said is perfect. The Renaissance era.
Yeah. The only thing that was missing was a rage party.
Stop it right now.
Real quick, I just wanted to say this because I'll forget if I don't. I was DMing Pacone about it today because he tweeted something about the weekend or something about Cody or whatever the case may be. And I there's two or three comments, and I've seen this on like a couple things. It's like, I don't get the Cody thing. And it's like, if you don't get the son of a legendary icon who we saw develop as like a young wrestler in WWE, we saw him, we wanted more for him than the opportunities that he got. He had to leave and make himself a star. WWE had to accept the star as is for him to come back after he was roundly rejected by AEW's fan base and his wife was, pretty horribly treated by AEW's fan base. And all of that comes full circle for him to be the baby kissing baby face of the millennium for WWE and the face of the company. And he's bestowing upon his dead legendary icon of a father the title that he could never win himself. If you can't understand that, stop watching professional wrestling.
Strong words. From not the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, but Mark Henry Jr.
The world's strongest.
That goes double for any bloodline adults out there that wanted Roman Reigns to hold the belt for 8 more years. And
listen, I'm gonna write a column about Roman Reigns and how his run was he deserves all the kudos in the world.
Absolutely.
For his run and the fact that he is still is, I would say, a top guy in WWE, still the top guy in WWE as a heel, which is not a common occurrence in WWE specifically, where all their top guys traditionally are baby faces. I was talking to John McMullen last night about it at Raw. Shout out to John McMullen, by the way. And we were talking about maybe the last person that you could say was a top, like the top person in WWE that wasn't a babyface, that was a heel, was probably superstar Billy Graham. And even then, that wasn't for an extensive period of time. They usually anoint that person who's like the ushering in the eras, you know, the golden age, the Hulkamania age with Hulk Hogan, the new generation with Bret Hart, the Attitude Era with Steve Austin, the PG era with John Cena, and so on and so forth. It's usually with babyfaces, but with Roman Reigns, they've been doing this with a heel. And there's a ton of people already putting up the ones. When he turns babyface, it's going to make crazy money. He could be a bigger babyface than Cody is right now because he's getting people holding up the ones everywhere as a villain. Mm-hmm. Imagine what he does as a babyface when he's cool and he's doing it for his family and he's still got the swag on. It's going to be licensed to print money. But go ahead, Mark. You had something else.
No, I didn't. I was saying I agree with that totally. I think he absolutely will be a you know, the hotter the heel, the hotter the baby face. That's just generally the rule in wrestling. But was Triple H ever the guy? Like, it's
not like, I don't think so. I wouldn't put Triple H in that category. He always worked with the guys, though. He worked with Triple H, he worked with The Rock and Steve Austin. But I don't think you would say he was the face of the company.
Here's the difference.
I would say it went from. Brock Lesnar was that guy for a little bit. They tried, and he left, and then it became Cena, I think.
Yeah, it's here, when did Cena become the guy? I can see like that 04, 05,
yeah.
When was Triple H the guy that run? Like, because Brock leaves, Benoit wins the title at Mania 20. I don't think Benoit was the guy.
I think they were searching, and then they found it was Cena. And Batista, too, to a certain extent, and kind of went from there. But go ahead, Jason, you had something?
There's a reason they call that the Reign of Terror. Right, because nobody wants to remember it. Good.
It's an interesting dichotomy because Roman's reign, no pun intended, he arguably elevated stars, right? And that's a hard thing to do, and that's something that people will not acknowledge, no pun intended, that they're not going to say Sami Zayn is in a better spot than he was last year.
Who wouldn't say that? You got to be out of your mind to think that.
Devil's advocate. I'm not.
You got to be out of your mind to think that Roman Reigns didn't make Sami Zayn, didn't make Jey Uso, didn't help make Drew McIntyre, didn't help make Kevin Owens. Like,
I think Jay's the best example. Cody's obviously up there, but Jay would not be where he is.
I think he helped Kevin Owens stay in the main events for a little while, and he got involved with Sami Zayn.
That's true.
I think he helped all those guys.
Love that reunion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So. I don't necessarily think Triple H did that, you know, back then. So that could be a reason why people don't see him as the face of an era. And plus, at that time, there were like two world titles as well. Yep. So you know, it's tough to.
Like I said, if anything, I would give it to Brock.
Kind of agree that maybe not completely the face of WWE, but if you compare the two eras, Triple H and Roman, like Roman's. I think elevated way more people than Triple H did 100%. At that time.
I agree 100%. Yeah. And they were all in the ring congratulating Cody on the end of night two. Go back to those.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's all part of it. And
look what Roman did for LA Knight. He helped LA Knight too. LA Knight was a star coming up, but he had that match with Roman. It helped him. It elevated him. Go ahead,
he also helped hold Logan Paul, so screw him. Anyway, sorry.
Well, I was the biggest heel in the link during the Logan Paul match, telling people to cheer for your future world champion, but we'll get to
that. Hey,
Logan Paul. I mean, we could say whatever we want. That guy's the truth in the ring. I mean,
he's
that
really good
guy,
in the ring, for sure.
That guy, I had an independent wrestler on. He was, I guess this one was his 11th match, Logan Paul. And he's like, I've never seen anyone.
Big Trouble, right?
Yeah, Big Trouble, Ben Bishop, BTBB.
Yeah, I listened to that one.
He's awesome. He's the man. Had to hit the dump button a couple times, but he's the man. he said he's never seen anyone in independent wrestling or any walk of life that's had 11 matches that is as even half as good as Logan Paul is in the ring. But a question for Vaughn here on because we're talking about the main event. We're talking about Cody and Roman. Went through the top 40 I made to go against yours and sorted out the main events. Okay. I was trying to figure out where Cody and Roman ranks for me just among WrestleMania main events. For me, I had it second. Like I love Taker HBK career versus streak. I one of my hottest wrestling takes of all time is give me the 26 match over the 25 match. I'm a fiend for story. I love that promo package running up that hill. I watch that like once every couple months, that promo package going into Mania 26. And then the match, the throat slash, I couldn't love that match anymore. That's probably my favorite Mania main event. I think Cody Roman edges out, you know, Brian Orton Batista, Austin Rock 2. The redacted triple threat, Brock and Kurt.
I personally would put it above the WrestleMania 26 main event.
And you definitely had that a lot lower than I did.
And man, as far as climactic endings, it's definitely up there with like WrestleMania 30. WrestleMania 14 wasn't super climactic. It was a big moment for Austin, but like Tyson quick counted. It was kind of weird, honestly, the finish of that match.
Stone Cold. That's what it's remembered for.
It felt kind of like underwhelming when it happened. It's like, oh, okay, he won. All right, he's the champ. Yeah, okay.
Like, honestly, not to hijack the convo, I thought they were just going to restart the match because I was like, okay, like Tyson clearly is not the referee to count. Like, this is stupid. Why is everyone cheering? So that was an interesting thing live. Like, while watching it,
You know, I've always been of the opinion that WrestleMania is the place for happy endings, and we got a lot of them. This might be the happiest ending in WWE history, in WrestleMania history. So for that, to me, it's up there. It's like it's probably number one as far as main events because it had everything you wanted. It was a culmination of the best stories, two stories in WWE history, arguably between the Tribal Chief, head of table character, and Cody Rhodes' story and him trying to finish it. And the culmination with all these characters coming back after, you know, being a part of this story for years and coming back in these significant moments and The Rock. And of course, you get The Undertaker, who wasn't a part of the story at all. But who's to say that he was the original choice for that spot? Who knows?
Assuming revenge for the WrestleMania main event against Roman. That's the only way it makes sense. But I don't think that's why he was there. But I just think it's because they couldn't get Austin. But.
Either way, it was still what everything it had to be.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's been a WrestleMania main event that delivered the goods and delivered on expectations more than what we got Sunday night.
In your top 40, your top ranked Mania main events were Bianca and Sasha was your number one Mania main event at 11.
Wow. I didn't realize that. Okay.
And then Bret Shawn. That's one we had a big disagreement. I think that match stinks. And Bret and Shawn
I put it in the storyline. I know some people don't like it.
Yeah. Bret and Shawn are two of my three favorite wrestlers of all time. And I feel like they actually like weirdly didn't have great chemistry. My favorite match there's actually like Survivor Series. Is it 92? Survivor Series 92. Mm-hmm. They had a banger. But yeah, those are your two. I think Cody Roman has an argument that it's the greatest Mania main event of all time.
And you bring up another one, Sasha and Bianca. You almost forget about the Saturday night main events too. They're technically main events. That's my highest. I didn't realize that was my highest ranked main event. I think Cody and Roman, for everything that it was and everything that it should have been, it delivered, and you had people hoisting them up. It feels like the height of an era almost. It feels like we hit a peak. You know, everything that we wanted it to be, and of course for us specifically, it was in Philly, so it's even better. And the weather worked out, and you know it was a dope moment. So yeah, it would be high on my list for sure.
I won't be long at this point, but just the chill. I got legitimate chills even watching it back. I watched the replay about four or five times already. Cody picking Roman up that final time for the crossroads, and Paul Heyman screaming, "No, no!" And that's like something that many people might not pick up on, but I remember in like Paul's face and stuff. And the anguish that he's going through, you know, like his tribal chief. Then we see the videos on social media, them hugging on the stage. like all that's part of it. All of that's part of it, whether you think about it in the moment or not. And I was just like, I remember, you know, in the club box, they had the show on, and it was, the audio was a little delayed, but I remember like once Cody pinned him, like after he hit the last crossroads, and I hear Paul Heyman yelling, "No, no." So I'm more like watching the replay to, you know, see it in real time and not delayed. But that gives me like the, if I had to choose a bigger WrestleMania main event, like I wouldn't be able to choose it based on that alone. It almost felt like just Paul added to that with the screaming "No, no," because he knew what was coming, and just that. If you missed it, go back and watch it and pick up on it. If you didn't hear Paul screaming, but that was just an incredible moment for me watching.
Yeah. Let me kind of run down my weekend real quick here, because I kind of already mentioned some things, but let's go into a little bit more detail. Thursday, we start out Thursday. We had a Make-A-Wish event that we covered, a lot of media covered, with involving Charlotte Flair and Rey Mysterio. They helped some Make-A-Wish children do some do their entrances, and WWE did a really good job. They actually had like the, you know, where they had like you could do your own entrance set. They created Trons for each kid, which was really nice. Cool. They gave like nicknames and their own music, and they got to come down. They got their own belts. I was like, damn, that belt's really nice. So kudos to them for doing that. That was pretty cool. But that's where I met a lot of people. I met, like I said, Cam Hawkins. I met Demon Diva, who apparently knew who I was. I met Candice Cordelia, who, you know, works with PWI. I met so many cool people that day at that function, and then I met Randy Cruz for the first time. Nick, we had Randy Cruz in the podcast in the past. Met him for the first time, and that was pretty dope. And met some others. I'm, you know, going through, you know, forgetting names. If I forget your name, please, I'm sorry. But met a lot of people. So of course, we do the tour of WWE World, and Thursday was the first day it opened, which was the best day to be there as far as content creator, because it wasn't that many people there. It was open. There were people there, but you could just walk through exhibits and shoot content, which was nice for me because I got a good video done. But after that, it edited some video. And actually, Jason, when you was doing a 2K event, I get called down to do an interview with Jade Cargill, who you met like minutes prior. So check out Philly Inquirer for that video. And there's another video I'm going to post probably tomorrow when I empty out the old notebook there. With Jade Cargill as well, that I'll post on my platform probably. But got to interview her real quick. And then after I interviewed her, I met Mega Ran. You might know Mega Ran, the rapper, right? He's from Philly, up in West Oak Lane. Chopped it up with him and actually hung out with him the next day at Ishka Bibbles on South Street. We had a long conversation just about life and his career and stuff like that. So I'm going to write a story for that for USA Today. Check that out. And Mega Ran was on stage at WrestleMania apparently. During, I forget which entrance it was. I think it was, who had drums? I forget who had drums during her entrance. Maybe it was Roman's entrance. I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I saw it on social. He posted it on his Twitter account. But he was, as part of an entrance, on stage at WrestleMania. I'm going to find out the details as to how it worked out. Keep an eye out for that. Again, USA Today. But then, Thursday night, let's go back to Thursday night. We did Wale Mania. I was with my guy Tommy Rowan, the good brother Tommy Rowan. And Phil Strum from USA Today, we was hanging out. And Wale Mania, man, for those who don't know, it's Wale's party at WrestleMania every year. And it's like a vibe, pretty much. They play music, people on stage, they dancing, it's cutting promos, and there's a lot of celebrities there. As you saw, we hung out with Vinnie Curry. I actually know Vinnie Curry from the Eagles, obviously. So we got to hang out with him for a little bit, took the picture or whatever, and then but shout out to Vinny Curry. He's a nice guy, a real good dude, and a big wrestling fan. Goes to WrestleMania every year. And you knew if it was in Philly, in the stadium he used to play in, Vinny was going to be there. So shout out to Vinny Curry. So, but Wale Mania was a great time. Met some cool people there as well. Met Emilio Sparks there, who's one of the hosts at Wale Mania on The Ringer and stuff. Not The Ringer, the GP podcast, stuff like that. So I met him. Met some other people that off the top of my head, I'm blanking on right now, honestly, because there's a lot of people. So if I met you, shake your hand, say what's up, and I'm not mentioning you right now, that is just me. I'm apologizing right now, okay? I'm apologizing right this second, okay? But, you know, obviously meeting a lot of people. But then we switch over to Friday, and that's when we go to WrestleMania Media Day. which was at the Marriott. It wasn't at the convention center. This was at the Marriott. So, I know who else I met at Wale Mania. I forget right now. It was Roy Burton from at the BS line on Twitter, obviously, who's been on Fox Sports The Gambler this past week. Yeah. So met Roy Burton for the first time.
Interviewed Ilya with me, Roy.
Was that?
He interviewed Ilya and Natty with me, Roy.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Also met Sean Ross Sapp at Wale Mania. How about that? Met him for the first time. Former guest here on the Straight Shooters way, way back in the day.
Yeah.
But a nice guy, sharply dressed man. Also, by the way, he looked way more professional than everybody else. I felt underdressed, honestly, because I came, you know, I was trying to look fresh, and he came in a suit, and I was like, man, all right, well, maybe I should be more professional then. I mean, like, Sean Ross Sapp, I'm out here in pants and a shirt, like, kicking it with some Air Maxes on, just hanging out. But then we flipped to Friday, and that's the WrestleMania Media Day, and hanging out with Gabriella Carroll from the Philadelphia Inquirer. She's one of our trending reporters, really great reporter, does a lot of great content for us. She was there asking, well, we didn't get to ask a ton of questions, honestly. They had lines full of reporters for each wrestler, obviously. I was lucky enough to get AJ Styles, did a video with him, got Trick Williams, got a video up with him as well. And then we had to fight between AJ Styles and LA Knight. Well, I was standing in line trying to interview Carmelo Hayes, actually, who we did not get because he ran out of time. But he's sitting there talking to somebody, and then behind the backdrop on the other side of the room, all you hear is this commotion, just chairs falling down. And we look over, and we see it's LA Knight and AJ Styles rolling around on the carpet in the Marriott. So everybody scrambles for their phones. I ripped my phone off the tripod. I'm like, oh, I got to get this on video, of course. It was like high school all over again. You know what I'm saying? Where everybody's just seeing it go, fight! And then run over to shoot everything and not call the police, not call anybody over to break it up. We just hear the witness the mess of AJ Styles and LA Knight. He took a big bump. One of them took a big bump on the carpet. And it was carpet. This is a ballroom. So it was not a canvas whatsoever. No give whatsoever. And after that, linked up with Tommy Rowan again, walked around WWE World again, which was way more crowded on Friday. Obviously, there's more people coming into town. But we did get to interview some people from around the world who had WrestleMania. One set of people were from the United Kingdom. Another set was from Canada. Somebody came from Tennessee. So let me take this time to thank everyone who allowed me to interview them, allowed me to shoot them in videos, like the fit checks we did, which night one we did it to Shawn Michaels theme music, which was an obvious choice, right? And then this night two we did it to Cody because, you know, American Nightmare winning the title. We pay homage, you know, get him involved there. So, but thank you to everyone who took part in all the videos and all the interviews and taking time out of their days and out of their trips to WrestleMania to talk to me and create content for the Philadelphia Inquirer. The fit checks are always fun. You know, wrestling fans are going to come out with the fits and the belts and the shirts and the outfits and the whole get ups. So it's a prime opportunity to get some content. We cashed in on that here at the Inquirer because obviously everybody's going to come through looking lit. So, of course, we got to document that. So, Friday after WWE World, shout out to Suplex again. Also, thanks to Suplex Ventures Wrestling for allowing us to shoot content there. We did a video about the store itself. We also interviewed fans there. Pretty good store. Go check them out. Open on South Street. They had a block party Saturday, which did not make it to because I was busy Saturday morning. But we had a video up on our site, on our Instagram. Gabe Coffey went up there and shot the block party Saturday morning. It looked like a great time. I'm sure it was cold because it was Saturday, but it looked like it was still a lot of fun.
That's where they had the ring set up?
Yeah, they had the ring set up in the middle of South Street. The fact that they had South Street shut down on the 600 block of South Street is kind of wild.
But Braceman, and had a few videos of that.
Yeah, but fortunately, people showed out, and it looked like it was a good time. But shout out to them. But yeah, I was up there for a little bit and ran into Megaran at Ishka Bibbles. We sat down, chopped it up. Again, look for that interview at USA Today. A great conversation with Megaran. Good dude. And then we go to Saturday, which again, I didn't go to SmackDown, didn't go to the Hall of Fame because by that point I had to go home, edit video, post it, do all that stuff. You got to work still. As much as like we want to go to all these shows and all these events, I still got to work. I still got to do stuff after. Again, just I wanted to go to For the Culture, but I had to edit video. So unfortunately, I did not make that. But Saturday, WrestleMania, man. And I take my wife down there. Of course, we interview some more people. I'm running an Instagram story the whole night with updates and stuff like that. So it's work, But when you walk into that stadium and you see the stage and you see the ring and you see all those damn people, the sea of people at WrestleMania, which it always looks cool on TV, but when you see it in person, it feels it hits different, right? Right. So where our seats were was, I got good seats, y'all. I got floor level, but on the risers. The problem was our ticket said 31 and 32. Somebody else had 33 and 34. The seats were labeled 32 and then 34. I was like, where's 33?
You're standing.
So they had to call somebody over. And this is, again, we just getting there. We're like, wow, WrestleMania. Oh, where our seats at? So they had to clear it up, figure it out. It worked out. And thing is, let me say this too. Wrestling fans are so nice. That's the thing about that was reiterated for me this weekend, whether it's the media members that I met, all the media people that I met, or the fans that I interacted with. So cool. Like, everybody just happy and there to have a good time, just to enjoy wrestling and being wrestling fans, being around other wrestling fans. We don't get these opportunities too often. I don't care where you're from. It's not a common thing for thousands of wrestling fans to just be in the same group for multiple days at a time. So I guess we were all just reveling in it. And it kind of still took me by surprise. I've been a part of it before, but this was still different, especially because it's in my hometown, in our hometown. So that was really cool, and everything worked out. And we sat in that freezing cold all night at the link. But I heard that people were cheering in the press box. Well, I guess we'll talk about it Sunday, Nick, because you was in the press box Sunday. But Saturday night was really cold. My wife got to see The Rock wrestle in person, though. She was very happy with that. And Roman Reigns, too. She got to see that. So that was really cool. But flip over to Sunday. Get down to the parking lot. And who do I run into but the Tribal Chef, Jason Fanelli. And he got the group around him. He cooking up cheesesteaks. And there was so much love at this tailgate, man.
Yeah, man.
Like, I didn't know, Nick, they were straight Shooters fans at this tailgate, bro. Like, we were famous. All right.
From Virginia.
Oh, wow. They drove up many hours, barely ate any food. Jason Fanelli fed these kids food. All right. Shout out to them, though. They were big fans of the podcast. Awesome. And they had nothing but nice things to say. And they were cool and they were dope. So hope they got home safe. Hope they enjoyed themselves up here in Philly. As did everybody else. I hope everybody else enjoyed it as well. But yes. Yeah, such a great time at the tailgate. We had so much fun. My dad was out there messing around. There was a guy dressed as $1 Million Man who had fake money, but he's paying my dad to take off his Cowboys gear and stuff like that. My dad was like, "Oh, I'll take it off." You know, it was so stupid, so silly. So much fun though at the same time. And then we get inside and it's beautiful weather and it's a great show. And then we get that ending, man. And it's just like, damn, you know, when I was, you know, everybody dreams about watching or talks about watching wrestling with their parents when they were younger, and you see the big moment, and here I am sitting next to my dad. You know, I'm 35 now, but it's still meaningful to see that, where you got the story about this guy winning a title for his dad, and here I am sitting next to my dad at WrestleMania watching this story play out. It was a beautiful moment, man, and it was a beautiful moment for pro wrestling. It's a beautiful moment for me. I had a great time, and then went home that night and was just like, whew, oh, wait, there's Raw. Yeah. Raw the next day, and this is where I heard about a lot of the press box stuff that happened Saturday and Sunday, where people were cheering in the press box, right? And for those who don't know, a lot of wrestling people don't know this, you know, the wrestling media, cheering is not allowed. It is very much frowned upon in the press box, okay, in any sporting venue. But if you're a wrestling content creator, you're not in any press box except when you're at WrestleMania. Okay? So you may not know this. But apparently, there's cheering in the press box during the matches. And all of my, you know, regular media friends who work for the Inquirer and other places, they're like, what in the hell is going on in here? Because when I worked for the Eagles, I couldn't cheer for the Eagles in the press box, okay? It is very much frowned upon, okay? The PR people be like, hey, you better sit down somewhere, okay? Don't matter if we caught a pick six in the NFC Championship. Sit your ass down somewhere, okay? So it's really funny to me because they were getting upset, all right? Let me just say. People were getting mad. As also, they were laughing at the person who got kicked out of the Roman Reigns presser for booing.
I did see that.
Hysterical. Again, don't boo during press conferences either, people. That's very much frowned upon. So, yeah, went to Raw. Had a great time, man. Raw after Mania. That's my first Raw after Mania. I've been to 4 WrestleManias. This is my 4th. But this is my first Raw after. good time again, man. Hung out with John McMullen again, chopped it up about wrestling, superstar Billy Graham and stuff like that. And then that was it. And it was such a great weekend. It was like we just floated for like 4 days straight to wrestling heaven.
You're right.
Just floated to wrestling heaven, man.
It's really hard to describe it any other way. It was a wrestling marathon for 4 days straight. Mostly WWE, obviously on top billing on the marquee, but there were people. It was just nothing but wrestling love. The videos that came out from all the indie shows, the you know, dozens of wrestlers just meeting people on the street. It was man. If there was ever like a wrestling city, like you said, this is what it would be like. It would just be fans and wrestlers hanging out, vibing, having a good time. It was magic, man. I wish.
What better place for it to happen than Philadelphia?
Obviously. That's right.
And then Philly is a great city, I think, to host it in general, just because it's a very walkable city. Things are pretty close together. You don't have to go outside of the city to go to places. The stadiums are all right next to each other. So, you know, that's the thing. So, yeah, I think, man, I wouldn't be upset if they had it in Philly every year. I know the people wouldn't want that because it's cold. Saturday is really cold. They like money, though, so they might come back.
The weather almost seems like – I feel like the last few years in April, it's been, like, pretty hot. I don't know. But I'm always – like, I like the cool weather, but not – obviously, Saturday was too much because the wind.
But then you like, got to – the wind was bad.
I could sit, like, 45 degrees if it's not windy. But it was the wind that made it so cold.
And then you got today, where as we record this, it was like 80 degrees.
My air conditioning's on right now.
Y'all missed it. Everybody who left Monday or whatever, y'all left after WrestleMania, went back to your hometowns, y'all missed it. It was a beautiful day. On Tuesday. Boy, I tell you, I was outside today just soaking it up. All right. It was great. It was a great time. But let's wrap it up there. Mark, any final thoughts before we wrap it up here for episode 392? Anything you want to plug, I should say, or anything from the weekend that you want to kind of touch on before we wrap it up?
No. I think we talked. Well, I guess we didn't even touch on, I guess, Drew and Seth and that whole
cash in. Yeah, that was good.
That was a great way to like start night two, right? It kind of set the stage. And it's almost there was a sense of how can they top this? Like, even if Cody wins, like how could they top it? And they did.
That was, I thought that was perfectly done. Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, Tough Cover Radio Show every Saturday. Not this Saturday. I got my bachelor party, so Sean Bernard will hold it down.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. But yeah, crazy loaded April for me. WrestleMania and then my bachelor party back-to-back weekends. So that'll be something else. But yeah, I probably won't have a voice next Monday either. So,
Jason, anything you want to promote or touch on at the last, little bit here from WrestleMania before we wrap it up?
Nah, nothing specific right now. If you're into the video games, you can find me. I write a lot of GameSpot.com, MMORPG.com, a couple other places. Cheesesteaks and controllers will come back eventually when I have time to breathe. Every time I want to sit down and record an episode, I get called to do like 40 million things. So it will be back. I promise. We got the big summer gaming season coming up, so I will get back into the swing of things there. But as far as this weekend goes, I wish I could capture it and relive it over and over again. I mean, I could do that through Peacock and YouTube. Two clips and stuff like that, but something about being in that parking lot surrounded by those people. You know, I got to make fun of a Cowboys fan and then shake his hand. It's a great thing. it was awesome.
Nick,
that's the one regret I have. I didn't make it to Jason's tailgate. I visited another tailgate. Didn't think I would be there as long as I was. And then I looked at the time, it was like 5 o'clock. I'm like, I'm glad I got in the media line at five because I don't know how it works, but I don't know if they just shut it down completely. I know it says like 5 to 6:30.
Yeah, I don't.
But what if like, you know, it was 6:45? Like, am I going to get my credential if I'm still waiting in line? I didn't know how that works. So
it's also funny that WWE has a media wait and then they escort them to the press box where you go to like any other sporting event here. You just go to the press box yourself, but the media, they don't know. They don't think they got to navigate to a press box. That's a new thing.
You weren't allowed to leave, which was my fear on the Saturday. And they were confirmed from stories. So I was glad I didn't.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get my credential. And I guess I technically could have, unless they force me in, because you get a credential and then you go inside. So exactly. Saturday I just said, you know what, pray for tomorrow, and I was able to get it on Sunday, so that was really cool. So I have that. I already scanned it, so it's like saved as a, you know, picture file on my computer. Scanning it was awesome. But I have, you know, the actual credential, which is really, really cool. And yeah, man, like, I'm glad I got out there. The past few years have been tough, but like being able to experience those just 2 days, I wish I was able to go to, you know, WWE World and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm not going to complain about this weekend just because I was able to experience that. I will say, probably a little bit better than WrestleMania 15 when I came here.
Just a little bit there.
I don't know, Taker, Big Boss Man.
Triple H turning heel on Xbox. Oh no!
Oh my God!
But yeah, you know, that was great. You can follow me on Twitter/X @_Picone. Check out foxphlgambler.com. Any podcast, this will probably be uploaded on the Wrestling Roundtable page, so you can check that out along with the Straight Shooters podcast as well.
I am at Vaughn M. Johnson on X/Twitter. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio. Let me do that one more time. patreon.com/shootersradio. You can request a future deep dive and we will fulfill it. And when you request that deep dive, we will let you make a cameo on the show that we're diving into. So again, patreon.com/shootersradio. And I'm going to leave everyone with this one thought from this weekend. If you have not been to a WrestleMania, no matter where it is in the future, I think you owe it to yourself as a wrestling fan. If you can, if you have the ability to do it, you got to go at least once.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big WWE shill or anything like that, but obviously, let's not kid ourselves. We know WWE and we know WrestleMania, at least, is the show of shows. That's Super Bowl. If you're a football fan, you go to the Super Bowl. You try to get to the Super Bowl if you can afford the tickets, obviously. That's easier said than done, obviously. But WrestleMania is slightly more attainable. So I think that if you're a wrestling fan and if it's close in, you know, in your vicinity, within your reach, try to make it at least one time, man, because it's great. And I've been to bad shows and it was still a good time. This was an amazing show. So you might get one of these and it's still and you'll never forget it, but you might get a bad show and it's still a great time. So I still think you owe it to yourself at least one time, any wrestling fan out there, to try to get to one WrestleMania in your life. But until next time, for Jason Fennelly, Mark Henry Jr., and Nick Picone, I'm Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to episode 392 of The Straight Shooters, and we'll catch y'all again next week.
Peace.